At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to another edition of the OHIO Podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Bucks. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And this is game week.
Yes, it is.
We finally made it, Chris. We are only, as of when this drops on Wednesday, well, that will be what? Three days.
3 glorious days.
And really less than that, because it'll be dropping in the evening. The game's at 3:30 on Saturday. Chris, it's been a long off season, and I've been thinking a lot about that. We're going to dive into Akron tonight. We're going to talk about their roster. We're going to talk about Akron versus Ohio State historically. All of those good things. We're going to break down a little bit of the numbers for you. Chris and I are good at that. Aaron was great at breaking down the film, but here's a quick film breakdown for you. We good.
They ain't.
There you go. We'll leave that for the experts, because he and I, we are not the experts at breaking down film. But I can tell a story. And the story is this, Chris. It has been a long, long offseason, and our Buckeyes are ready to hit somebody. And it just so happens that the Zippers from Northeast Ohio and Akron are coming down I-71 to get a butt kicking in the shoe come 3:30 on Saturday.
They better crawl back up in that pouch, because they don't stand a chance. I'm telling you right now, Eric, I'm putting the money on Ohio State to cover that huge spread.
Woo! Good Lord. What is it, 52 as of today?
Wasn't that today? I think last I saw was 50 and a half.
50 and a half. It might be going up. It might be going up before. So if you're going to do it now, because by the time kickoff comes, that bad boy might be closer to 54, 55. That's kind of what I'm feeling. Here's the thing, Chris. Here's the thing. This is what I want to kind of what I want to say. Ohio State this offseason, it has been a long offseason for two reasons. Number one, your rival, who's beat you now three times in a row, albeit with the help of one Connor Stallions, has been gloating all offseason about doing so and then finishing on top, winning the national championship in 2023.
Asterisk championship.
With an asterisk.
Thank you.
But yet, that makes for a long offseason for you.
It does.
The last time this happened, Chris, I was just a little guy. I don't even remember most of it. I was that young, and I'm 43 now.
I remember it, and there was a kind of asterisk on that season as well, because they were splitting the title.
They had to share that bad boy
with a better team.
With one Nebraska, okay? So this was their first, quote-unquote, outright since the 40s.
Yeah.
Okay? And the majority of people who are on social media boasting about it, we're not alive there, I promise you. 99.9%, we're not there to see that when it happens. So that's the first thing that has made this offseason difficult for us Buckeyes to endure. The second is because this team has got expectations placed on them because of how many guys have come back who decided to come here via the transfer portal, and the freshmen that were brought in, specifically one Jeremiah Smith, JJ Smith, Optimus Prime, as our co-host Mello likes to call him since he coined that. So that makes for a long offseason that's finally about to end, and we're going to get to see this dream team, the $20 million roster, get to perform come this Saturday, and we will finally see them in live action, Chris. Cannot wait.
Oh, I am so pumped, Eric. I mean, I'm ready for it right now. And you know, we're going to be doing that live reaction show on Saturday. It's hard to say what's going to happen that day because we are just so juiced about this already. You know, I can't wait to see Ohio State hit somebody that isn't wearing the same color uniform. Because we have got such – I don't know what I'm more pumped for, what this offense could do or what this defense is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the number one defense in the country, I'm telling you right now. Our second string, I said it the other night, I'll say it again, our second string would be a top 10 defense in the country. It's that good. And then you put that with this offense, with Will Howard, with Quinshon, with Travion, with Jeremiah, with Emeka coming back. We got Carnell Tate. We've got just Brandon Ennis. We've got so many weapons. And then we got, like you said, not just Jeremiah, but the other freshman, James Peoples. You got to imagine he's going to get some time. And then we've got this revamped offensive line that all we've heard from everybody is what strides this line has made. I can't wait. I mean, you know, we used to joke about hang 100 on Michigan. I really feel like with this defense and this offense, if Ryan Day wanted to, he could hang 100 on somebody.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, Ryan Day, remember what Moorhead did last time he visited Columbus, Ohio?
Yes.
Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind. And then I want you to unleash the fury.
Yes. Yes.
I want angry Ryan Day. I don't care if it's just Akron.
Yes, I agree. Some things I'm going to be watching for, and I want you to answer the same question. And I know we'll get more into the weeds on our call-in show Thursday and maybe even Friday night for our late-night tailgate. That's what I decided to name it. We're going to call it, instead of After Dark, that's John Kennedy coined that one. How about the late-night tailgate? I think that kind of rolls off the tongue too. Anyways, the first thing I'll be watching for is how much has the offensive line improved. I don't want to see false starts. It's game one, and I know there's going to be some jitters, but you know, Simmons did a lot of false starting last year. Okay.
Yes.
Has he cleaned that up? Who gets the starting right guard in game one? Who's going to get that nod? That's one thing I'm looking for. Particularly on the offensive side. On the defensive side, how much rotating are they doing? Okay, like at all three levels, are we seeing them rotate into that second string early in the game in meaningful snaps? Because I want to make sure, I kind of want to see their philosophy and how confident are they with these guys and bringing them along, making sure they build that depth, keep those guys involved and invested, making sure you have your insurance in case of an injury, so that when you have a next man up situation, it actually can be a dude and not just a name to put on the spot on the field. Okay. Looking at you, Bryson Shaw. So I want to, those are the two things I'm going to be watching for on Saturday. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to be looking for that, Eric, but let me tell you, in addition to what you just mentioned, I'm going to flip it the other way. I want to see how much Ryan Day is rotating, specifically at the quarterback position. Who comes in second? Who comes in third? And does he actually let them get out there and throw the ball? That's been my biggest knock on Day as far as development of quarterbacks, is even when he puts his second or third string guys in there, it's hand off the ball, hand off the ball. He's got to let him get those significant plays. Defensively, I think it's all about seeing how much this linebacker crew has gelled. I think we've got the ultimate confidence in that defensive backfield. I think we've got the ultimate confidence in that defensive line. But what has James Laurinaitis done with that those linebackers? How will they gel? You know, one of our big knocks is in the past years, a lot of times we find that the linebackers, even the good ones like Eichenberg, were sometimes out of position. Have we fixed that by having a former linebacker in there coaching these guys? And what will he do with CJ and Sonny? That's very interesting to me. How much will each of them play? Is it going to be on certain downs? Is CJ in there in the passing downs? Is Sonny in there? Because yes, you can put CJ in there to rush, but you've got Sonny who's going to be better in coverage, you know? So I'm really interested to see how that plays out. And I think we'd both be lying if we weren't interested to see what Jeremiah Smith does in live game action, because he's been nothing short of incredible in practice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one too. All right. Let's check this out. Let's throw a couple graphics at you. Of course, just a reminder, I'm sure if you're watching this, you already know this, but just in case, the game will be at 3:30 this Saturday on CBS. Chris, if I recall, isn't that the old SEC affiliate?
That feels weird to me.
Doesn't it feel odd?
It feels odd to see Ohio State on CBS. But you know what? I think years and years and years and years ago, you go back to the late Earl Bruce and the Cooper years, I can remember watching some games on Channel 10. But they may have been replays now that I think about it. But I remember seeing some games on Channel 10 when I was young. So, you know, I don't know, but I'm telling you, it does feel weird, but I'm excited for it because I think that the Big Ten put together a glorious TV package that's going to span so many networks that we are going to see so much football, and we don't really care what's going to be on ESPN. Yes. We don't care about that.
Off the tugs. Yeah. So this is going to be CBS's big time slot here. 3:30 is their big time slot, right? That means we're going to get the sultry tones of one Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson. Yes. And can I be honest with you? I kind of like them as a crew. I think they're incredibly professional. They were kind of SEC homers. It felt like when they were doing SEC games, but you know, let's be honest, that's who was paying their paycheck at the time was, you know, CBS was in bed with the SEC. And so it should be really interesting to see if they kind of will have that same kind of tone when it comes to a game like this.
Yeah.
Being now a Big Ten affiliate with CBS. So that's going to be incredibly interesting, but I like them. So I think that's going to be one of those games where maybe the volume of the television doesn't have to be muted because you get sick to your stomach just listening to the SEC biasness of the announcing crew. But there again, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. And I really do like Brad Nessler, although he needs to chill out on the tan, man.
You don't like the tan?
The guys getting up there with the Hulk Hogan leather skin look a little bit there sometimes, it feels like. Let's take a look now, Chris, at Ohio State versus Akron by the numbers. Interesting. Look at that first line, buddy. Ohio State leads the series. That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
8-1.
Yeah, that one. That one, it sticks in my craw when I think about that.
Do you remember that one?
I think the only person on the walk on the face of the earth that's going to remember that is Kirk Ferentz.
I think
everybody else has long since expired.
He might have been on one of the coaching staffs then. You never know.
Without a doubt.
Ohio State has won the last five in a row. The last meeting was in 2021. I was at that game, Chris.
We were at that game, Eric.
Were you there too?
Yes.
Because Sarah was with me.
Yeah, that was the one. If you remember right, Bobby had went up there with me as well.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, I do remember that now, because that's when we got the famous, infamous ticket story she shared.
Yes,
that day. Which she will have to share that story sometime on the OHIO podcast with us. That's fantastic.
She loves it when I tell that story.
Not so much.
Not so much.
But of course, my lovely wife Sarah is a graduate of both The Ohio State University and Akron. So I asked her what day where her allegiance was going to lie, and she said Ohio State, of course, they're the better football team. So she's smart like that. Only game in Akron, Ohio happened in 1891. Look at that score, buddy.
4-0. A couple safeties.
Well, I don't know if that's really.
Were they just keeping touchdowns one at a time at that point?
I think touchdowns might have been 4 points.
Okay.
I think they scored a touchdown, and I don't think there was extra points yet.
Yeah.
So I think they literally won by one touchdown, 4-0. I think that's what the score was. Because I think touchdowns were worth 4 and extra points were worth 2.
2, because you had to do the 2-point conversion.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's how it was back in the 1800s. Largest margin of victory? Well, that came in 1892. Yeah, that's the very next year. Look at that score. Ohio State said, we're going to make sure that don't happen again, losing make sure that we don't lose or only win by 4 points. So they won by 62 in 1892.
We call that convincing.
Yeah. Now, they played a series where they played, I believe, 4 years in a row, 81, 82, actually five, 81, 82, 83, 84, and 85. 1891. Through 1895. Let me make sure I get it right. But, Chris, in 1894, we lost. That was that one. It was in 1894. It was by 6 points. It was by a touchdown. And a 2-point conversion for back then. So Ohio State's longest win streak has been accumulating since then, 1895, and then they didn't play again until 2001, I believe. So some other interesting notes. Ryan Day's record against the MAC is 3-0. And one of those wins was against Akron. Do you know who the other two were?
Ooh, let me think. Wow.
Let me give you a hint. Both are in state.
I would say Akron, BG?
No.
No?
Close. You're very close.
They did Toledo. I know that one.
Toledo was last year.
That was last year, but I'm trying to think. I could have sworn they played BG. That must have been back during Urban they played BG.
This is Miami of Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, they did play Bowling Green when Urban was here because there was the big story about that's where Urban started, remember? And yeah. Last time Ohio State lost to an in-state opponent, 1921, and it was Oberlin. Would you like to take a guess of how many Ohio State has won in a row since then and against in-state opponents?
Oh, let's see. I don't imagine we've played too many of them since then. In 100 years, maybe. Let's say 112.
46.
Okay. I figured it's for at least one game a year over that 100-year
stretch. No, not really. No, because if you think about it, back in the day.
We usually have a cupcake along the way, Eric.
Well, back then, Chris, they were only playing 8 games a season.
That's true.
And it's 7 of those were Big Ten opponents, and only one was usually an non-conference opponent. And they got into the streak in about like the 40s where they started playing like a good
opponent, yeah.
Yeah. And so they really didn't start playing 3 non-conference games or 4 back in the day until they went to a 12-game schedule.
Which wasn't all that long ago when you think about it.
And that's when you started seeing Ohio State play the G5 schools.
Yeah.
You know, and so, it's near there. It's only 46. All right, let's take a look at every game Ohio State and Akron has played real fast. Again, 1891, you got that 4-0 beat down, and that was in Akron. Everything since then has been in Columbus, including 1892, the 62-0 game. 1893 was a 32-18 score. That looks more like a football score. 1894 was unbelievable, 6-12 loss.
They came into Columbus and beat us.
Yes.
That's even worse.
And that Ohio State team went 5-2 that season.
Yeah.
So they were not a bad football team.
Yeah.
Akron just was really, really, really good that year. And you right. got to keep in mind, back in, you're looking at back in those days, like Ohio State was not the Ohio State that they are today.
Right.
Okay. Columbus was not the city that Columbus is today.
It's changed in the time that I've been alive.
I bet you that Akron might have been a bigger city than Columbus back then.
Yeah, maybe.
It might have been. Then you look at 1895. That was a 14-6 win. And then they didn't play again for over 100 years until 2001. Anything significant about that season, Chris?
That was Tressel's.
That was Jim Tressel's first year, right?
Yeah.
28-14. God, that's a close score. Look at 2007.
He made it right in 2007, though.
20-2? How's that making it right? Defensively, that's nice, but only 20
points.
And
I'm wondering, did our punter like take the ball and run backwards out of the end zone to run off the clock?
I don't remember. 2011, 42-0. Yeah.
That was right.
Yeah. Now we're doing something right there. And that would have been Fick.
Fick. Yeah.
Yep. And then 2021, last time we played, there you go, 59-7. That's going to be closer to what we're seeing.
See, I don't like that. There shouldn't have been a 7 on the board that year.
There won't be this year.
No.
There won't be this year. So, all right. I tell you what, Chris. Should we look at their roster or our roster statistically first? How do you want to do this?
Let's look at their roster first, Eric.
All right. We can do that. I tell you
There's
what.
There's not a whole lot to look at.
I'll see if I can't pull open the Our Lads and pull that open to our screen here while you're talking.
Okay, so we have Akron coming in offensively. They are led by a new quarterback, the transfer out of North Carolina State in Ben Finley. Ben Finley comes in. Last year, he had 572 yards passing for 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, completed about 50% of his passes. Now, you look back at Finley's career, Eric, he played at Cal prior to this. And boy, this is a young man that I can see having some struggles when he comes to Columbus, because he's only completed about 57% of his passes. But what's really bad is this guy can be a bit of a slinger and sometimes can, let's say, make a poor error in judgment. He has 7 touchdowns versus 9 interceptions in his career. And that wasn't anywhere close to what he's going to see in Columbus out of that defense. I'll tell you who does know a little something about Columbus, though, is their new running back. And that is one Jordan Simmons, who played at Michigan State. Now, Jordan, the last couple of years, hasn't done a whole lot. He had 4 carries 2 years ago for 9 yards. Last year, he was only 7 carries for 14 yards. But if you go back to what he did in 2020 and 2021, in 2020, he led Michigan State in rushing. He had 219 yards, and he was 2nd in carries with 56 yards. Now, he actually missed 2 games that season because he went down to injury as well. And then you go flash forward to 2021, and he again had another really good season. He played in all 13 games. He got a spot start in the Peach Bowl after one Kenneth Walker III decided to declare for the NFL draft. He was academic All Big Ten, 278 yards on 70 carries, had 6 catches and a touchdown. So this is a guy that can play the game, and he's played it at the Big Ten level. Their last big offensive transfer coming in is Amarion Granger. And a lot of people may not be familiar with Amarion. He played at Old Dominion. Not exactly super stellar stats. Last season, he only had 15 catches for 213 yards and a touchdown. But a lot of talent in this young man. Somebody that we will need to watch out for, although I don't think our defensive backs are going to have a whole lot of problem here, Eric. But that offensively is what that we need to look out for. So did you want to pull up the whole offensive roster, or
do you want
me to go ahead and do the defense?
Well, which one do you want me to, because I have,
let's go ahead and pull up the whole offensive roster.
Because I have the Our Lads pulled open right
Very
now.
Very good.
So. Yep. You can see the whole roster, the whole thing.
Yeah. So across the offense, you can tell, guys, this is an offensive team that has gone through some changes. You've got Amarion Granger, as I mentioned. You've got Ben Finley and Simmons, who are both transfers. We also have the whole left side of that line rebuilt with left guard Lawrence Seymour and left tackle Dane Shore, both transferring in. You look at their wide receiver room, Eric. This is not a team that has exceptional talent at wide receiver. Granger, the transfer, may be their best talent that is actually there. If you look at the two returning guys in Adrian Norton, as well as Alex Adams, I mean, between the two of these guys, they only had about 30 catches last season. My stats froze, Eric. There we go.
As long as you didn't freeze, that's all right.
I'm not freezing.
All right.
So Alex Adams, he had 22 of those catches, 368 yards, 9.7 yards per catch average, modest numbers, couple touchdowns. Norton only had 9 catches for 71 yards last season. So this is a very, I would say, inexperienced, yet mature but inexperienced wide receiver room. The tight end, not a lot of catches, not a huge threat to catch the ball, but he is somebody who actually is capable of really blocking well. But you know what? I guarantee you, this young man has not seen anything like what he's going to see coming off the edge at Ohio State. They just don't have Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau and such in the MAC. So offensively, that's what we have. Defensively now for Akron, you look, there's a little bit more stability. They do have a few graduate transfers coming in and senior transfers coming in. And Nathan Kapanga, Paul Lewis III, and Damon David. But if you look overall, Eric, this is a defensive team that last year, you know, to say they were a little sketchy might be an understatement. They did give up 335 yards per game last year in the MAC, an average of 5.2 per play. And it's a team, Eric, that also was frequently penalized, averaging about 5 penalties a game. So, you know, not really a great defense. And again, it's the MAC. And you know, what they're going to face on Saturday, I almost feel sorry for him if Joe Moorhead wasn't the coach. So that is where we're at defensively. A team that really, you know, I think they just sadly are going to be severely overmatched. You know, they don't have the horses to hang with this Ohio State offense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So why don't we take a look at that Ohio State offense?
Let's do that, because that offense is...
That's stacked, man. That is stacked.
Well, and the thing is like I alluded to when we were talking at the beginning of this show, I'm really interested to see how this offensive line is going to play, because there's no doubt about it, Chris. The running back room is stacked. The wide receiver room is stacked. And it really, the expectations are through the roof in a lot of ways too. So yeah. Being able to see this team from that perspective of what they're going to kind of look like, I guess, is, you know, but from an offensive line standpoint, it to me is just really, really interesting. So that's what I'm super excited to.
Yeah.
To see is how this offensive line is going to make that happen.
And the offensive line, like you said, that facilitates everything, including the play of one quarterback, Will Howard. The K-State transfer comes in, and you look at the numbers, and you might feel like, well, you know, those numbers are kind of pedestrian. He's only got 2,600 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, you know, but the guy is a game changer. He really is. First of all, he was dealing with not half the talent that he's going to have at Ohio State. So you can imagine, I'm going to tell you right now, you can add at least 1,000 yards to that passing total, minimum. But more importantly, what he brings is leadership and the ability to run the RPO and move the ball with his legs. Now, on top of what he did passing the ball, like I said, 2,643 yards, 24 touchdowns, 10 picks last year. And some of those picks were bad picks. But he also ran for 351 yards and 9 touchdowns, Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a leader, and he is going to really make a difference. And then you look further into our offense, and you go to Travion Henderson, the guy who we think is going to be 1A, the guy who is returning. He's the leading rusher returning for the Buckeyes this year. He had just under 1,000 yards last season with 926. He ended up with 11 touchdowns on the season. And that was behind an offensive line that was pretty sketch at times. Then you go on to the receiving crew. And, you know, gone are our top two receivers in Marvin Harrison Jr., Cade Stover, both off to the NFL. But you know what? We got Emeka Egbuka coming back. Emeka is amazing. If you look at what he did 2 years ago, you get a better idea. Last year, hampered by injury, only had 41 catches, 515 yards. He had 4 touchdowns. But, Eric, that was out of a oft-injured Emeka. I can't wait to see what he does this year, especially with two guys that are going to be out there with him. And really more than that, but two that will be out there starting with him that are going to take some of that pressure off, one being Carnell Tate, who we saw flashes from last year. He had 18 catches, 264, a touchdown. But Jeremiah Smith, this is the guy. Jeremiah, just absolutely amazing. Hasn't played a down yet, and I am anointing him the best wide receiver in all of college football right now. He is, I believe, more prepared coming in than what we saw out of one Marvin Harrison, and we saw how that turned out. He is physically a specimen. He has the attention to detail, the mindset. His routes are solid. He can go up and high point the ball. He has got so much going on. And then, of course, our tight end room, we've got Gee Scott Jr. coming back. Now, 10 catches, 70 yards last year, 1 touchdown. But that was with Cade Stover in the game 90% of the time. as the starting guy. So obviously he didn't get as many opportunities. He's improved his body this year. He is, I think, in a much better frame of mind than he's been in the past. Because let's face it, in the past, we've seen Gee do some boneheaded things at times. I think that his maturity and leadership are going to take us to another level. And then, of course, the one guy I intentionally left for last, probably the biggest transfer on offense out of the portal, and that is one Quinshon Judkins. Running back, he's going to be splitting time with Travion and Eric. This guy was, 2 years ago, led the SEC in rushing. Last year, he was second. 271 carries last year, 1,158 yards, 15 touchdowns. And you know what? We've struggled at times getting those short yardage pickups, whether it's on third and short, whether it's, you know, first and goal inside the 5-6 yard line where we seem to just always stall. That's not a problem anymore. Between Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins, this offense is going to be explosive. And if you look at Akron, they just don't have any answer. We can tell that already. I will be very surprised if this team does not put up, I would say, 63 points. And honestly, that's even with the starters out by halftime. Because I think that's what we see. Now, defensively, Eric, because I know this is what we've all been dying for all year.
Yeah, this is what I really want to talk about.
This I'm sure. I'm betting you're excited about this because, you know what, we don't have our top two leading tacklers coming back. Tommy and Steele, God love them. They're off to the – Tommy's off the NFL. Hopefully Steele has the opportunity to catch on somewhere still. But you know what we are bringing back? We are bringing back Mr. Intensity himself, the guy who I think brought physicality to this defense in one Davison Igbinosin. Along with him, you got the man on the opposite side, the vocal member of this defense, the guy, we call him the truth teller, and that's one Denzel Burke. This is a guy I said last year could have gone out, been a first-round draft pick, decided to come back. He had unfinished business. He's got a statement to make. Then you go down. We've got Cody Simon in the middle. Man, that's exciting. Cody Simon finally getting his first real shot. We move Sonny Styles down there with him. If, you know, we imagine Sonny's going to be the starter. CJ Hicks going to get a lot of playing time. We got...
Don't sleep on Arvel Reese.
I was going to say, we got Arvel Reese. Reese is going to see significant playing time. That linebacker group, man, you've got James Laurinaitis putting together a beast of a linebacker group. We got the guys on the backside of the defense, the safeties. You know, let's talk about, obviously, we have the big transfer, Caleb Downs, guy led Alabama in tackles as a freshman. You know what? He's not going to be the strong safety this year. He's not going to be up in the box. He's going to be floating around. Watch those interception numbers soar. Because this guy is a ball hawk. We got the tackling machine that is Lathan Ransom coming back. If he stays healthy, watch out. We've got that defensive line. You know, that defensive line with Jack Sawyer, with JT Tuimoloau, with Tyreek Williams. You've got Vincent. You've got a defensive line that I really think all four of those guys would have been drafted had they gone. I think at least two of them would have been day two draft picks, maybe three. This is a defense that is stacked, and Eric, is if you run down the names on that second team, I said it before, I'll say it again, that second team is a top 10 defense in the country. I really believe that. Names like Kenyatta Jackson, Hero Canoe, I mean, you look at the defensive backs. We got young Aaron Scott back there in the two deep. You know, got Lorenzo Styles Jr.
Well, when you have someone like Jermaine Matthews Jr. who Jermaine got to actually Matthews, play yes. last year, and then let's not forget about Caden Curry.
Well, yeah, let's not forget, you know, we got Jordan Hancock in that mix as well in the lineup, in the starting lineup. My pick to lead the team in interceptions this year. Oh, by the way, do you know who led the team in interceptions last year, Eric?
Jordan Hancock.
That's correct.
With, I think, like, what was it?
Two. But you know what? I think that this is a team that you may see four or five interceptions lead the team, but you could see a team that has easily double-digit interceptions.
Yeah.
Easily. Because we just have, I think, a fabulous backfield. And you talked about Jermaine Matthews Jr. Did he have one or two pick sixes last year? I know he had one. He came off of close to a second one, if I recall. So, I mean, Eric, this team is stacked. Our three deep. Edrick Houston is our third defensive end.
This guy's a wrecking ball. It's true. Yeah.
I mean, this team is so stacked on the defense. I'm calling it right now. It's Natty or bust this year. And I'm telling you what, I think we can pull a Georgia. We can repeat.
Well, let's win the first one first.
I've got the confidence. I'm already making plans for the three-peat, Eric.
What?
That's how confident I am with what Ryan Day has put together.
Oh my goodness, boy, that'll get him off your hot seat, won't it?
That'll get him off the hot seat and up and on the pedestal
into legendary status. Interesting note, Chris. Outside of Woody Hayes, there's only three other coaches in Ohio State history who've won a national championship. Can you name them?
Urban.
Yes.
Tress.
Yes.
Warfield.
Brown.
Brown. I don't know why I'm saying Warfield. Yep, Brown.
And all three of them only won one.
Yes.
Woody's the only one who's won multiple, and now he won five.
Yes.
But as soon as Ryan Day wins one, and then he goes and gets a second.
Yeah. You have to talk about.
Got to get the first one first.
That's it. You know what? I'm confident this year. I'm confident because I'm going to tell you. I think a big, big addition to this team, aside from the players, was Chip Kelly, who's going to help Ryan Day get out of his own way. I think Ryan Day has been the biggest obstacle to Ryan Day winning a national title at this point. It hasn't been Georgia. It hasn't been Michigan. Ryan Day has gotten inside of his own head, I think, as much as anything. Chip Kelly is his mentor. He's somebody who I think, yes, Ryan Day is his superior now, but Chip Kelly is somebody who I think can help ground Ryan Day, take that pressure off of him of calling the offense, and let him focus on the bigger picture. And by doing that, I think Chip Kelly may be the biggest acquisition of this offense because I think he helps Ryan Day get over that hump.
That's awesome. Real quick, in closing, something fun to keep your eye on this season and watch, okay? I always like to do this going into each season. I like to kind of look at records and then look at people's statistics and kind of say, yes, what if, right? But then we'll close out by talking about Archie in this weekend, okay? But what if, all right? So I want you, Chris, to think about 2022 Emeka Egbuka.
Yes.
Not 2023 Emeka Egbuka. 2022 Emeka Egbuka. 74 receptions, 1,541 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
That was his stat line for the season. This is just a simple question. Do you think he comes close to those same numbers this season?
I don't know. There's an awful lot of guys to get that rock to. An awful lot of guys that want fed, including two tremendous young running backs that I think are going to need to be given the ball a lot. Chip Kelly's, I think, got, even though he's still running Ryan Day's offense, he's implementing his fingerprint on this offense, sure, which means I think we're going to see the run a little bit more. So I don't know if we'll see quite those numbers, but I do see him as well over 1,000 yards receiving.
Well, he only had 1,151.
Oh, I thought you said 1,500.
Oh,
like,
was it 1,500 and some? No, 1,151.
Well, then yes, he can come close to that.
Yeah, okay.
He can come close to that, and I'll tell you why.
So if he does.
That slot position.
Bingo. So if he does, 74 catches, 1,151 yards. 1,151 more yards will get him 1,000. That will get him, if he gets another 1,000 and some yards.
So
all
that's right? 22. He's got to be around 2,500 with what he did last year.
He will be around close to 3,000 yards for his career. Because he's got 1,857 right now.
Okay.
So 1,857 plus 1,151 yards will get him 3,008.
Yes.
That would put him first all time in receiving yards in Ohio State history, surpassing Michael Jenkins at 2,898 yards, David Boston at 2,855 yards, Gary Williams at 2,792 yards, Chris Carter at 2,725 yards, and more recently, Chris Olave at 2,711 and Marvin Harrison Jr. at 2,613. That's awesome. Okay. Now let's talk about receptions. Right? 74 more will get him at 198, which would put him second all time, right behind KJ Hill at 2,001. So if Emeka Egbuka can stay healthy and has a productive season similar to what he had in 2022, he will be near or at the top of two of the more career records at Ohio State.
Yes.
That's impressive. So something to keep your eye on and watch as it progresses through the season is Emeka Egbuka and his records. Now, I know some are going to say, what about Travion Henderson? He's got a long way to go. There's been some pretty epic running backs in Ohio State.
He's not going to get there.
No.
He's just
He hasn't. He hasn't been healthy enough the last 2 years.
That's the issue.
And, you know, to meet what he did his freshman year. Okay?
Yeah.
So, big in 2021. So, big gap there. Okay? But I think he'll always be in the record book. He has the single greatest game as a freshman in Ohio State history.
Yes.
He surpassed one Archie Griffin in Tulsa his freshman year to do that. Which brings me to Archie Griffin.
Finally.
So, yes. So Archie Griffin this weekend, if you get to go to the Shoe on Friday, I still don't know the time that is. I should have probably looked that up. Of when the unveiling the statue there around the rotunda. I saw where they had some places roped off around the rotunda. So yeah. Obviously the location is there, and then they're probably putting it up, or if they haven't already, and then covering it and making sure no one does anything stupid to the statue before they get to unveil it. But that will be taking place this Friday at some point.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, and then Saturday, he gets to dot the I in Script, Ohio, becoming the second former player ever to dot the I, the first being Earl Bruce, who played in the 1950s and then later became the coach after Woody Hayes retired. And then he got to dot the I before he passed away as well. Earl becoming the first player and the second former coach ever to get to dot the I. So Archie becomes that guy that gets to do that, joining the likes of Earl Bruce, Woody Hayes, James Buster Douglas, Bob Hope, Jack Nicklaus, and the politician who was the astronaut, Glenn?
John Glenn.
Am I missing anybody? Everybody else were former band people.
Can I just say, like I said the other night, kudos to Ross Bjork for making this happen. And I want to just kind of throw this out there. CBS, if you do not show the Script, Ohio portion of the halftime show,
they're idiots.
I may lose my mind. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, it's going to be everywhere. So many people are going to be recording it on their cell phones and everything else. And you know, 11 Warriors and Buckeye Huddle and all them guys are going to have, they're going to have their hand in it as well. But it's going to be on 10 TV, NBC, ABC. It's going to be everywhere. CBS is not that dumb. They're going to show it.
All I'm going to say, Eric, is if they don't, you may have to mute me during the game watch.
We riot.
Because I will lose my ever-loving mind.
You're going to storm the castle here at the palatial Boggs Estate?
I might. No. I may go down and storm the shoe, man. Find that crew, man. Just start shaking people. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So that's one of the things I'm most excited to see. They will show it, even if they record it and during commercial, and they come back from commercial and they play it. They'll show it, but it will be all over. Don't you worry. All the local news news coverage, they're going to be covering it. They're going to be showing it. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I still think PBS out of Columbus shows the halftime show.
I know they used to show a replay of the game.
Well, I think they show the halftime show later in the evening.
Okay.
It's something they've been doing for a long, long time. So that if it's a part of the halftime show,
yeah,
that he gets to dot the I, that's what I'm assuming it'll be, is at halftime.
Yeah. I mean, I know occasionally they'll do Script Ohio before the game, but I can't.
Well, they
imagine.
Do. Yeah, they do it before the game.
But I'm saying I can't imagine that being when they have him dot. I think they'll have him dot at halftime. They want everybody there.
Right, right. That's what I'm assuming. That's why I think that they'll have their halftime performance, and that'll be the last thing they do at halftime, is seeing Archie Griffin dot the I. But they'll probably also celebrate him during one of the commercial breaks. If you're at the game, they'll have some kind of special presentation they give him and his family. There'll be pictures of the statue outside up on the Jumbotron and all of that good stuff. But celebrating Archie Griffin this weekend is a massive thing for this university. Yes, kudos to Ross Bjork, celebrating 50 years ago when he won his first Heisman Trophy. And so I've given Gene Smith a lot of heck about not doing this before, but it is kind of poetic justice if it was they were waiting for the 50th, if that's what this was about. But he should have had a statue a long time ago.
There's no excuse for that. I mean, you got to show respect to the guy who's not only been one of your greatest players, but your greatest. Let's call it what it is. He is the brand ambassador for Ohio State.
The greatest ambassador to Ohio State history ever.
Yeah. For the last five decades, this guy has been Mr. Ohio State.
Yeah. Only two-time Heisman Trophy winning.
Yes.
A player of all time, right?
The all-time career rushing leader.
Yeah, one might not ever get broken. Was a great has been Woody Hayes' biggest cheerleader throughout, you know, Woody Hayes' tenure as far as after retirement and then following his passing. He's always spoke so highly of Woody Hayes and still to this day honors him. He was the assistant athletic director for a while.
Yes.
He was the president of the Ohio State Alumni Association. Yep. The guy bleeds scarlet and gray. He does. What was it? What insurance company was he do the commercial for?
Oh,
was it Allstate?
No, it's you know us.
Yeah. What is that? I don't remember anymore. I don't.
Is it only Farmers Insurance? No,
it's not Farmers.
No, it's not Farmers. It's...
But anyways, you know who it is. Let us know in the chat since we forgot. But yeah, you're in good hands with Allstate, isn't it?
No, it's not Allstate.
Let's see. Anyways, that's beside the point. The thing is, he's epic.
Yeah.
The man is epic.
Kroger spokesman for how many years, you know?
There's been a lot of good ambassadors for Ohio State. I think of, for the longest time, Chris Spielman was.
Yes.
You know? There was a time, a short time, but there was a time Kirk Herbstreit was before he got big time. when he was just doing local radio.
Why would you start with me, Eric?
My cousin Ryan Miller worked for Channel 10 for a little bit of time, right? How about Obie Stillwell? He's a great ambassador for Ohio State. Speaks very highly of the Buckeyes.
A lot of the former players. You look at guys like Tyvus Powell.
And then the current guys. Tyvus, yeah. Bobby Carpenter.
Yeah, Bobby, right? Huge. And then you go
James before he coached.
You know, and you mentioned Ryan. What about Fick and Vrabel? The three of those guys put together Second Seven Foundation. I mean, that's huge. Yeah. Everything they do. Roy Hall, you know, him with the I'm trying to remember the name of his program now, but Roy Hall, and I know Maurice Clarett was heavily involved, Doug Worthington, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of it now, but they had a program they were doing to help. They raised money and supplies and things for inner city youth, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And all those guys are great.
Yes.
But none of them.
None of them are Archie.
Archie Griffin.
And you know what the funny part about that is? And I don't know if you could say this about any of the rest of those guys. To my last days on campus, which, you know, you'd think would have been decades ago, but they really weren't because I was a late life student. I graduated in 2015. I could walk across campus in 2015 and see Archie walking across campus. And you could go up to him and say hi. And he would shake your hand and spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes talking to you.
Yeah.
He was just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Just the most wonderful person. And he made you feel like you mattered for being there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better. He's finally getting honored, and it's about time.
Yeah. I've met a lot of former players in my life, gotten a lot of autographs from former players in my life. And a lot of them are fantastic. You know, I think of like, Anthony Schlegel and Ryan Miller both bring the juice. When you meet them, they are high energy guys. Bobby Carpenter's funny. You hear on radio is what he's like in real life as a person.
AJ. You know?
Yeah. But Archie might be the most genuine, real, caring person out of all the former Buckeyes I've ever met. And that's, you know, the fact that he's that good, that legendary, and also that nice of a human being, there's a special place in heaven for a guy like that, man. No doubt. Like, share, subscribe. I know this Akron Ohio State preview was very Ohio State heavy and OSU centric, and we didn't have a guest on. Just didn't work out for Big Kev tonight. But here's the deal. Moving forward, we'll have much more statistical things to look at. We'll have real games to talk about that we can do our previews in. And we will have guests on being a part of the college huddle. We will have people who will be able to bring on an interview and talk about their team so that we can have that nice back and forth with them. But thank you, Chris, for bringing all that knowledge, dropping all those statistics on our lap this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know in the comments section below what you think. Later in the week, we will have our call-in show tomorrow. Call-in show will be tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Friday, we're going to be doing our late-night tailgate. So that'll be like 9 p.m. We'll see how late it goes. And then Saturday, we're going to be doing the watch party during the game with the live chat. And then with the call-in show following the game Saturday. So a lot of stuff coming your way in that 3-day span. This was just the appetizer, is all this was. The real meals start to come. That steak that I salivate about, Chris, that's going to be coming. I might have to eat some steak during the watch party. What do you think about that?
You know, that might not be a bad thing. But you know what? Once you've had that steak cooked on a stone, man, it's just nothing else is
close. There is one thing. There is one thing that I've had that was really good like that, but we ain't going there tonight. Thank you so much, everybody. Again, let us know what you think. What did we miss? What did you want to talk about? Put that in the comment section below. What do you think the score is going to be? We'd like to hear from you on that aspect of things. And then tell us, do you have an Archie story? Let us know your Archie story in the comment section below. We would love to hear all of those, guys. All right, guys. Thank you so much, Chris. Till next time, OH.
I-O.
go Bucks, and beat the Zips.
Cover the spread.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.